work.
This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Interfacing complete. Please stand by. Now downloading Tech Talk Radio with Dr. Richard Schertz and Jim Russ. Tech Talk Radio, it's technology you can understand. And now, here are Dr. Richard Schertz and Jim Russ.
Welcome to Tech Talk Radio. We are in the virtual faculty lounge at Stratford University talking technology. I'm Dr. Richard Schertz.
And I'm Jim Russ.
And more stuff is coming out on IT, as always. We now know who the voice behind Siri
is.
Yeah,
and that's interesting.
Yeah, we're going to interview her today.
Okay. We tried that last week.
Yeah,
it didn't work out too well.
We're going to interview her, see if she's come around and gives us a little bit more information. NSA is using Firefox to snoop on Tor users, T-O-R users. This is a device which is supposed to allow you to surf the web anonymously, and they're trying to crack it.
Mm-hmm.
And so people are a little upset about that. I'll talk about what they're doing with that. There's a drone crashed in Manhattan.
What?
You know, it turns out a lot of citizens are just like buying drones and flying them around.
You're kidding.
And some guy was, he crashed his own, drone into a building and it fell down on the street.
That's
so we'll give a little report on that. Developers have been analyzing healthcare.gov. Now, this is a case study of what not to do when launching a big software project. So I've got some observations by some software developers on how the government really didn't do the job right.
Mm-hmm.
And this week, we're going to feature in Profiles in IT a girl who was just on the cover of 17 magazine.
Really?
She's also the co-founder of My Social Cloud, and she was just selected as one of the teenagers turned millionaire success stories.
What? A teenager turned millionaire?
Yeah, but I mean, well, she's 21 now, so she's kind
does
of.
Does she need a stepfather?
No, I don't think so.
Okay,
I think she's got a lot of volunteers for
probably
that.
Probably so.
And of course, it was a giant mailbag.
Is that bigger than huge?
Oh yeah, this
okay.
is huge.
There's a letter in your
oh, yeah.
mailbox.
Yeah, that's bigger than
that's
huge.
A little bigger
that's
than
a little
than,
bigger than
little
just,
bigger
just
than,
a tad.
It is getting to be quite, you know, we may have to get some sort of special pulleys in here to pull
well,
the mailbag up to the counter.
You would think, Doc, this being a technology show, that you wouldn't have to bring in hard copies of the letters. You could just access them via the email.
You know, it does. It is true because, like, emails really don't weigh anything compared
that's,
to paper.
They really don't weigh anything. It's radio, though.
It is radio, yeah. And so we...
No, it's not radio. It's
no,
Classroom,
it's
of, the
classroom of the Airwaves.
I keep forgetting that.
We
I'm
got
sorry.
An email from Dick Mondrow in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Dear Doc, I've been hounded by this pop-up ad every day in both Internet Explorer 10 and Chrome. I'm using Windows 7. I've got pop-up ad blocking set up as well. As I've also entered the URL in the IE domain. I've acted on privacy. I've visited on the block sites. I scan every day at startup using Norton Antivirus. I'm also using Malware Bytes. I'm also using Kaspersky's TDSS Killer and Anti-Root. I've tried it all, but nothing seems to work. Any chance you may have an answer? I enjoy your shows and download them and listen on my MP3 player.
It's always good to butter
your
them
topic.
Up.
Yeah, now he's you know he's,
right.
he's smoothing
mm-hmm.
it up a little. Your topics are very helpful and keep up the great work. I also use Chrome and like it, but I cannot find a way to use podcasts like IE under feeds. Is there a way to do this with Chrome? Well, we'll deal with that directly.
Okay.
Thanks, Dick Mondrow in Weirsdale, Florida. Well, this problem that you have with pop-ups has been on the discussion boards all over the place because a lot of people have got these pop-ups that they keep getting on their in both in IE as well as Chrome, and they can't get rid of them. They're using all the antivirus and anti-spyware programs. The general conclusion is it's probably an extension that you added to your browser. And you probably added that extension to both of them. I just checked my Chrome, and I had a couple of extensions on my Chrome that actually I didn't know anything about. they must have just popped on, so I just removed them. And so I would recommend that you just go through the extensions. Any extensions you don't recognize, delete. And if you have explicitly added them, just start removing them one by one. Then after you remove an extension, just turn off the browser, reboot the machine, make certain nothing's in memory, and then bring it back up again. And people have said that's been quite successful to get rid of the pop-ups. And this was a huge discussion on the airways, and people were just as frustrated as you. Now, there is also another way to keep the pop-ups from coming up and to keep any communication with you know, malicious websites. You can actually load on a hosts file, and it will list all of the hosts or all of the IP addresses that have a bad reputation, and your computer will not be allowed to connect with them. And instead, it will redirect your computer just to the local machine, and so you'll just instantly get back a response, but you won't load all that stuff on. And so you can actually go to mvps.org, mvps.org, and you can actually download that host file. It's a little bit it's a little bit complicated. You have to rename the current host file and put this one in its place. But actually, it's gotten pretty good reviews. And if you want to do that, that is a secondary advantage that your browser will speed up. It won't be waiting around for these ads. Sometimes you wait for the ads to show up before the page can go.
Uh-huh.
This way, an ad, instead of it'll just be redirected to the local machine, and you'll just load something locally quickly. And so all those delays will just completely go away. You won't have to look at ads. But I think this extension thing will work quite well, and if you want to do the extensions, you can you can simply go to settings, and then you can look at the extensions, and then you can just delete the ones that you don't want. Now, as far as Chrome, as far as Tech Talk podcasts in Chrome, let's address that, because that's really personal mm-hmm. to me. Okay, what you need, it turns out that Internet Explorer has an RSS reader built in by default. Chrome does not. You have to download a reader. So what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to go to the upper right-hand corner of Chrome, click on that, and then you'll go down and drop down menu, say Choose Extensions, and you click on Get More Extensions. You can do this at the same time you're checking for extensions you want to delete. You can say Get More Extensions, and it'll take you to a website. And then at the website, you can search for podcast. And when you do that, three readers will come up. I'm using the RSS extension reader by Google because it's a Chrome browser. I thought I'd use the Google one.
Mm-hmm.
And it's free. I just downloaded that. And then as soon as you do that, you'll see the little podcast icon show up in the screen whenever there's a podcast feed available, and you can listen to it. So then it'll be configured just as well as Internet Explorer. Those were actually quite good questions.
Yes.
And thanks for that email from Dick in Florida.
Oh, well, he must be listening to us on the podcast.
Yeah, he could be listening to a live, but he did say he would listen to the podcast.
I while you were talking, I was checking. I've never heard of Wearsville, Florida.
Where is it?
It's northwest of Orlando and southeast of Ocala.
Okay.
So there you go. He's in Central Florida.
I'm not certain I would retire to Weirdsdale, Florida. I mean,
Weirdsdale.
I don't know.
I think you mangled the name. I know I did. Okay.
So we got an email from Azra in Fredericksburg.
Mm-hmm.
Dear Tech Talk, I recently upgraded the operating system on my iPhone to iOS 7.
Here we go.
Now my iMessenger is not reliable. How can I fix it? Sometimes the messages just sit there and sit there and sit there, and they're never sent.
Yep.
I need to fix this right away. Thanks, Azra in Fredericksburg. By the way, we listen to Tech Talk using the live stream over the internet using TuneIn Radio application, That is a great application
to
listen to Tech
Doc
Talk.
Doc and I both use that a lot.
I use that one, and whenever I'm traveling, if I want to listen to the best of, I can always do that with TuneIn.
Yep.
I don't have to use it when I'm in the studio.
Because you're here.
Yeah, I've noticed that. Yeah,
right.
It's not really relevant at that point. Okay, this is the thing. There's a lot of this is a big discussion board item. People are totally teed off with things that aren't working right. It turns out there is a software bug in iOS 7.0.2. Now this is 7.0.2. This is already the second fix. And the discussion groups have just talked about this, and it turns out for a few percent of the iPhones, it only affects, you know, like 5% of the iPhones. Like mine works perfectly. So
I've been having the problem. But again, aren't most of these problems with fours and not with fives?
Oh, yeah. She didn't say what phone
she
had.
Yeah, she didn't say what kind of phone she has.
Yeah.
But I've got a four. I'm having trouble.
I've got a 4S. I don't know what phone. But so the workaround for this, Apple has said they're going to come out with a fix shortly, probably within a week or two. But sort of the workaround is you can turn off iMessage.
Oh.
So you go into turn off iMessage and you send it as a text message. Text messaging works.
You know what I've been doing?
What?
Turn the phone off and turn it back on and then just send it.
You can turn it off and turn it on again and send it. Yeah, that also works, but it is a pain
in
the neck.
It absolutely
so
is.
So if iMessage is there, just hangs up and just sits there and sits there and sits there. So if you just turn off iMessage, the text messages just go right out. Now the downside is you pay for text messages.
Right.
So if you got unlimited text, you got 1,000, whatever it is, you just make certain you don't start having to pay a lot of money for these text messages. But my advice, because this turning off and turning on, that is a workaround, but I just don't recommend it.
This is a simple problem. Steve Jobs would have had somebody's head for this, wouldn't he?
I would think so. I would think so. So that's my recommendation. I think it'll work quite nicely. You see, iMessaging is very nice because it uses the data connection, so you can send text messages between iPhones, and the carrier doesn't charge you anything.
Exactly.
So it's actually cutting into the revenue stream of the carriers. We got an email from Lois in Kansas, all the way from Kansas.
Wow.
Dear Doc and Jim, I just got this message from Google that someone tried to use an application to sign into my Google account. The sign-on was in China.
Warning. Danger.
So Google thought it might not be me and blocked it. Apparently, Lois, you don't travel to China very often.
Mm-hmm.
So now, what I want to know is, did they actually log on using my correct password, or did they just try to sign on with a random password, hoping to stumble across the correct one? What should I do? Thanks, Lois in Erie, Kansas. Well, Lois, Google is actually performing a pretty good service by checking for legitimate login attempts. Now, I suspect they get so many attempted logins, I don't think they're going to notify every attempted login. I would think somebody probably did get in by guessing your password.
Mm-hmm.
In which case, they did a double check. They said, hey, they got in. This is from China. And they blocked it. And then they notified you. That's what I'm going to guess. I don't actually have like a personal connection with Google on these things. So I'm just postulating on this. And Sergey doesn't really return my phone calls, so I don't know exactly what they're doing. So I would recommend, when in doubt, be safe. So I would actually recommend that you actually go in and change your password and check for another couple of other things. First of all, you want to go into Gmail settings. You click on that little gear up in the. It doesn't say settings. There's like a little gear up there in the right upper right hand corner. Click on that gear, and then select settings, and then you'll click go to the account. Then you want to change your password. Now, very importantly, you want to change your password recovery options because they may have changed that, and then they could change your password again.
Mm-hmm.
And especially if they've put in their cell phone number or their email address or their challenge questions in the password recovery. So make certain that the password recovery has not been changed. Also, I would check at the top, there's also this link for like forwarding your email. Make certain that somebody hasn't set up forwarding your email to another email account. So if you change your password, change your password recovery, change your forwarding, make certain your forwarding is still correct, I think you'll be okay.
Okay.
And you, by the way, you can also, when you log on to Google and go down to the bottom, it says, when was the last time that you logged in? And it will say you logged in like an hour ago or 2 hours ago. And if you ask for details, it will tell you exactly where you logged in from and what IP address and all the details on it. So you can actually look at your account to see if there have been any logins that you didn't really know about or didn't authorize. Mm-hmm. So it's really quite nice, a tracking system that they've got. We got an email from Amara in Falls Church.
Wait a minute. You skipped somebody.
Hold on. What did
John
I do?
John in Alexandria.
Where am I going? What's going on? Oh, we missed John in Alexandria. That's why I need a professional here with me.
I'm here to help.
That's why I need a professional. Yeah, I got so excited about this iMessage thing.
I didn't want John to have a frown on his face.
We got an email from John in Alexandria. Dear Tech Talk, is there a simple way to transfer pictures from my Samsung Galaxy S2 to my PC? I use Windows 7. I've got Bluetooth on the phone, but I don't know how to get Bluetooth to work on the PC. Is there any other way? Is there any other way to do it? Well, actually, there are a few different ways. I don't know. I don't think Bluetooth is your best option. Lately, I installed on my smartphone Dropbox,
mm-hmm.
and that transfers the pictures through the cloud. You simply install Dropbox on your phone, install it on your PC, and then when you install it on your phone, give it the option of having Dropbox automatically upload each of the pictures you take as soon as you take them. So, I just was curious. I just tested it this morning, and I tell you, it showed up on my PC within, 5 seconds.
Wow.
I mean, it was boom. It was fast.
It's fast.
Yeah, so that automatically transferred, and that's actually quite convenient. Now, if you had an iPhone, I'd say just use iCloud.
Sure.
Because iCloud is the same kind of cloud storage and synchronization kind of software, which works out quite well. So I'd say cloud transfer works well. Now, if you're kind of more like a nuts and bolts guy, you just might want to use a cable. So I'm certain that a USB cable with your phone, so you could simply plug the USB cable of your phone into the computer, and then your phone is going to look like an additional disk drive.
Mm-hmm.
So you click on that disk drive, and when you click on it, you'll open it up, and you'll see a folder called DCIM. That DCIM contains all your pictures. Now, chances are there'll be multiple subdirectories under there because the smartphones don't want to get more than, say, 500-600 pictures in a subdirectory because it slows down. So when you get more than 500-600, it creates a new subdirectory. So simply copy all those subdirectories. You could actually take DCIM and you could actually drag it over to your computer, and it will just take the entire mm-hmm. DCIM folder and copy all your pictures in one fell swoop right to your hard drive. It's very easily done, and it might take depending on how big the pictures are, 5 minutes to
sure.
do the transfer. But it's relatively
it's amazing.
It's very
mm-hmm.
easy to do. So that was a good question.
Yeah,
I just had to do that same thing, by the way, because Marianne's phone failed, and she had to get a new phone. And she's got so many pictures that the iCloud was just like it was jammed. She didn't have enough storage capacity in the iCloud. She's just picture-holic, and so so I had to plug hers in with the USB connection and copy them all over. Then when she went to the Apple store, and when she did the upgrade, it turned out that her Bluetooth and Wi-Fi didn't work.
Really.
And they said sometimes when in this upgrade, it triggers hardware failures.
Mm-hmm.
And so they just gave her a new iPhone.
You're kidding. What kind of – did you have a 5?
No, she had a 4S.
4S?
They didn't give her a 5. They gave her a 4S. But her 4S is almost 2 years old.
No kidding.
So if she'd have taken it to Verizon, they'd have boxed it, sent it in. It would have been a big production. But at Apple, bingo. They just replaced it on the spot.
Free of charge.
Free of charge.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Did she have the AppleCare protection on it or?
No, nothing.
Really? That's fantastic.
She didn't have anything. She had the phone, so they knew she bought the phone.
Yeah, sure.
And they looked at it. They said, yeah, this is a hardware problem, and bingo, they just replaced it.
That's,
I was actually quite surprised.
That's really impressive.
So, the thing about the iPhone, they said you're actually better off going back to the iPhone store to get servicing because they do it directly. I'm beginning to see the value of that now.
Yeah, a friend of mine had a problem downloading iOS 7, lost all of her contacts and everything, and mm-hmm. She took it into the iStore because where else is she going to take it, right? And they said there was nothing they could do. She had to start over from scratch, lost all of her pictures, all of her contacts were gone.
Yeah, that's why the guy, Marianne, called up the Apple store. She went over there, and they said, well, there was such a backlog of people because of this iOS 7. That she had to make an appointment for the next day, so she went in at 7 o'clock, and they said they advised her to copy all of her pictures over so that there'd be no issue.
So, so the phone failed, so she couldn't make calls and things like that?
No, she could make calls. It was just the Wi-Fi and Bluetooth failed.
Oh, I gotcha.
So she couldn't download the upgrade because you have to do it through Wi-Fi.
Right.
So I thought, well, she had point one, and I thought, well, if I download, so I hooked it to the computer, downloaded it through the computer, and installed point two.
Sure.
It still didn't work.
Uh-huh.
So when these guys looked at it, they said, well, it's a hardware problem, and they just Done. Replaced.
That's fabulous.
And so that, and the guy beside her, I talked to Marianne about this iMessaging deal. The guy beside her had the same problem on iMessaging.
You know, the thing about it, when you go to the Apple store, they do treat you really well there. I've never had an issue.
They do. That's not a problem. Okay, we've got an email from, now we get this one, from Amara.
Sorry for the delay,
in
Amara.
Falls Church. Dear Tech Talk, I burned D-Ban into the CD and then rebooted my machine with the CD inserted. Unfortunately, it just booted right back up into Windows. What gives? How do we get the computer to boot up from the CD? Love the show, Amara in Falls Church. Well, first of all, let me say what D-Ban is. I've talked about D-Ban before. It's Derek's Boot and Nuke.
Yes.
D-Ban. Derek's Boot and Nuke is a free erasure software designed for consumer use. D-Ban, it's a self-contained boot disk that automatically deletes the contents of any hard drive that it detects. It's a good program if you want to give away your computer and wipe it completely. So apparently Amara is going to give this computer away, so she downloaded D-Ban. She made a bootable CD. Here's the deal, Amara. You've got to change the order of the disks, the boot order of the disks. Right now it's going to the hard drive first, and it finds a bootable operating system on the hard drive. It just boots up, doesn't look any further. So what you have to do is, you have to have it look at the CD DVD first, and then you could have it. Then you want to have it look at the hard drive. I mean, if you want to have it boot off of USB port, you could also have it look at the USB port to see if you got a bootable USB. So in order to do that, you've got to bring up the BIOS. Now, BIOS is Basic Input Output System, and it's basically the software layer that's between the hardware and the operating system. Boot up is short for bootstrap. So as you're coming up and your computer's load this program and then that program, it configures itself, it's bootstrapping itself up. And so while the BIOS is running, there's normally a screen that shows up that says Asus computer or Dell computer, and it shows you a picture there while the BIOS is booting up. And below it, it says press a function key or the delete key if you want to bring up the BIOS menu. And so the function keys are F1 through F12, sometimes the delete key. Sometimes if you can't tell which one to do, I just push them all and it comes up. I mean, while that screen is up, any key, if you push the right key, all of a sudden the BIOS menu comes up. So what you want to do, once you get the BIOS menu up, you'll see several things you can change. Now, you don't want to change this to willy-nilly. What you're looking for are boot order and devices. So you click on boot order, and it will list the devices, and you just can order them. You click on it to make the CD-ROM number one, the hard drive two. Make certain that you don't unclick the hard drive, otherwise it won't boot up on the hard drive. So you put CD first, hard drive second. As I said, if you want to do the USB, you could click on it third, or you could click on it second, but only the newer BIOSes actually give you the USB option there. So that was a good question. It's also useful to have it booting up on the CD first in the event you want to, you know, your hard drive fails and you want to boot up on a version of virus protection software and do a scan on the hard drive. A lot of that comes in a bootable disk, and so it's useful to boot up on the CD first. The reason they configure it to boot up on the hard drive first, it boots faster because then it doesn't have to check the CD. It just goes straight to the hard drive. So you get you save about 2 seconds or 3 seconds by going straight to the hard drive, but it's more convenient, I think, to go to the CD if you're actually going to be booting on the CD sometimes. Great question, and we love all your questions.
We do indeed.
If you want to send us more questions, simply send those questions to techtalk@stratford.edu, and we will handle them during the show. In addition, I am monitoring real-time the Facebook page. Go to facebook.com/techtalkonline. We love your comments during the show.
And you are indeed listening to Tech Talk Radio here on a Saturday morning on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, 820 AM, 107.7 FM HD2. More of Tech Talk right after this.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
Applications. application and software developers shape our world. Those who design and build these systems are the leaders we follow. The School of Computer Information Systems at Stratford University's Tyson's Corner or Woodbridge campus offers programs with a real-world, hands-on education. In fact, many of today's Stratford IT grads are working in their chosen field. Make it work for you. Stratford University. Get working. Check us out on the web at stratford.edu. That's stratford.edu. A rewarding future as a holistic caregiver or nurse practitioner. Combining the art of caring with the human science makes nursing today's breakout field. Stratford University's School of Nursing at the Tyson's Corner or Woodbridge campus offers a patient-centered approach with valuable core clinical training. Stratford provides a real-world education in nursing. In fact, many of today's Stratford nursing grads are working in their chosen fields. Make it work for you. Get working. Check us out on the web at stratford.edu. That's stratford.edu.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. We're in the virtual faculty lounge at Stratford University talking technology. And now it is time for
Profiles in IT.
Yes, today we're going to feature Stacy Ferreira. Stacy Ferreira is best known for co-founding MySocialCloud.com, an online bookmark vault and password manager. I'm featuring Stacy because she is a young entrepreneur that just demonstrated enormous, energy to build a company and sell it in just a few years. I mean, it's just really quite an interesting story. And it sort of gives hope that anybody can start a company and get things to happen. Stacy Ferreira was born September 11th, 1992 in Scottsdale, Arizona. She attended Xavier College Preparatory School, an all-girls Catholic high school in Phoenix, Arizona, to complete her high school diploma. During this period, she served as a board member on a nonprofit organization, Open Table, which had been co-founded with her brother when they were both 14.
Funny.
Yeah, they were already in the entrepreneurial spirit then. She spent her high school summers getting involved with media. She worked with the local Phoenix educational TV stations. Now, during her last summer while she was still in high school, her summer says, look, she and her brother, guys, we're going to give you one more summer, guys, to go out and do what you want to do. Then you got to get serious. You know, they were afraid they just would never get serious. They said, good, give it one more shot. So they decided to do this online password manager company. The idea originally stemmed from a computer crash that left her brother without any passwords because he had his password spreadsheet. He didn't have a password vault. He had it on a spreadsheet stored in his computer. He lost the hard drive. He lost all of his passwords, which was quite a problem for him. So they decided, let's get into this password vault. So Ferreira co-founded My Social Cloud with her brother and another programmer, Shiv Prakash, while they were still in high school. They founded this in 2011. Stacy's a self-taught programmer, and she, along with her two other friends, her brother and the friend, helped build the product up from scratch, from the ground up. My Social Cloud is a cloud-based bookmark, vault, and password website. Now, after graduation, they moved to Los Angeles, where they developed the company while living in a small apartment in South Central LA. Now, this is the innovative piece. They didn't have any funding for this. They were just kind of just probably in the beginning. They were just funded by their parents. Well, they decided to approach Sir Richard Branson, of course, the guy that started Virgin Atlantic. And she follows his tweets. And she noticed that Branson tweeted that he was planning to attend a two-day charity event in Miami. Now, the ticket to attend the event was $2,000 a ticket. So Stacy said, I want to meet Richard Branson. I'm going to go to that charity event. So she went to her current bankroll, her parents, and they agreed to give her $4,000 so she and her brother could attend the charity event. I mean, it's actually pretty innovative, I think.
Yeah, really.
So at the event, they met Branson, and they were able to speak with him one-on-one. And he gave them the contact information. And Branson said he just loved their enthusiasm. I was reading an article by – she said, you know, Branson just liked the fact that we're just willing to go out there and do it. And we weren't letting anything help us get in our way. And so he just loved their enthusiasm. So they emailed back and forth. They talked about business over the next couple of months. And finally, after about 2 months, he agreed to fund the venture. So the company was funded with $1 million in seed money from Richard Branson, from Jerry Murdoch of Insight Venture Partners, and PhotoBucket founder Alex Welch. So, see, she wasn't in Silicon Valley. She wasn't in the normal circuit of these entrepreneurs. She didn't go to Stanford, and yet she was able to figure a way to get a connection. This is why I wanted to feature her. I mean, anybody could do this.
Sure.
You know, I mean, but you have to have an idea, and you have to have a passion.
Sure.
Now, after founding My Social Cloud, I think she got a little pressure from her parents. She decided to attend New York University, I guess, kind of work, you know, because it's all online development.
Sure.
But after 1 year, she took a leave of absence to pursue My Social Cloud full time. Her mom was a little worried. But get this, on July of 2013, just a couple of months ago, My Social Cloud was purchased by Reputation.com. They sold it. Terms undisclosed. I don't know what it is, but she made
a lot of money.
The founding partners continue to work on my social cloud with reputation.com. Now she's currently working on our second startup now, and I think she looks nothing like Mark Zuckerberg or 90% of the other entrepreneurs that are funded by VCs.
She looks like
in
a
Silicon
regular
Valley.
Teenage girl,
yeah.
Right?
The business inside her named her as one of the most successful new college dropouts. Hey, that must have made her mom proud. She's listed with her brothers as one of Fox's teenager-turned-millionaire success stories. And she was just featured last month or the month in September on the cover of 17 magazine as the winner of the Pretty Amazing competition. I just think that's just an uplifting story
it's
that somebody that young could just
right.
go for it.
Exactly. Well, that's
and
the,
they
that's
could
the
hit
thing.
Pay dirt.
Somebody who was that young who figured out a way to do all of this.
That's right. So that was just an uplifting story. There you go. Stacy Ferreira, co-founder of MySocialCloud.com.
I hope you're paying rapt attention to what the doc was just talking about, because in just a moment you will have your chance to win free food if you have the right answer to the pop quiz. Coming up on Tech Talk Radio on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, 820 AM, 107.7 FM HD2, the pop quiz, right after this.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
Technology is constantly changing. An effective IT manager must not only understand the possibilities and limitations of the technology, but also the requirements and constraints of the business world. Enhance your career today with a master's degree from Stratford University School of Computer Information Systems. Classes are offered day, evening, and weekends to match your busy schedule and are taught by experienced faculty members with industry experience. Earn your master's degree in as little as 15 months with an accelerated program in software engineering, information systems, information assurance, or telecommunications. Learn more about earning your master's degree from Stratford University at stratford.edu or call 1-800-444-0804. Disclose statements available at stratford.edu/disclosures. Stratford University, 1-800-444-0804.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
And now,
It's time for Washington's most popular and longest-running radio game show, the Stratford University Pop Quiz. Now, here's your host and star of our show. No, it's not Gene Rayburn.
It's not Alex Trebek.
It's not Richard Dawson. It's Dr. Richard Schertz.
Welcome back to the Classroom of the Airways.
Indeed.
Otherwise known as a radio show, but it's special.
You're kind of bending a little bit on this point.
I know I am. So earlier in the, and of course, if there's a Classroom of the Airways, there will be an assessment. And that assessment is in the form of a pop quiz. If you get the right answer to the pop quiz, you'll get two tickets to fine dining, the Escoffier Dining Room. Earlier in the show, I was talking about Stacy Ferreira. She was, of course, co-founder of MySocialCloud.com. Who provided the venture capital funding that was used to launch MySocialCloud.com? There were actually three VCs. Just name one of them.
Right.
And you'll win two tickets to fine dine at the Escoffier Dining Room. Now, how can they reach us, Jim?
Well, that's a very good point, Dr. Schertz, because you need to reach us right now, and the best way to do that is dial these following 10 digits in the proper order. If you're calling from west of Scottsdale, Arizona, it's 877-936-9333. From east of Los Angeles, California, it's 877-936-9333. And, of course, the wild card line is 877-936-9333. But I'm sure, Doc, you have a more high-tech way for people to reach us.
Yeah, that's exactly right. If you're calling from Siberia, you may not have a good phone connection, but you can might have an internet connection, and you can reach us using Skype. Simply connect to Tech Talk Radio 1, and that will be forwarded directly to the studio.
I hear the weather there is lovely this time
of
year.
Oh, it is, really is. Mm-hmm. Well, Putin has really, really just made it fantastic weather. And I think he and Barack are planning a little vacation up there to Siberia. A drone crashes in Manhattan. And on the way down, it almost hit a businessman who removed the video card from the wreckage and handed it over to a local television news station. Now, that makes a kind of interesting thing.
Yes, it does.
Now, in the video, the drone, which is the name of the drone, it's called the Phantom Quadcopter. So it must have four blades. The Phantom Quadcopter, in the video, it lifts off from what looks like an apartment terrace, and it buzzes around towards a nearby skyscraper, pausing for a few panoramic surveys of the Manhattan skyline. But the operator, clearly inexperienced, crashes it against the side of a building. The flight lasts for only 3 minutes before the final collision sends it to the street. Now, engineers blame the quadcopter's poor performance on the pilot's possible reliance on GPS mode. We're flying in a crowded area with tall buildings, that blocks the GPS signal,
sure,
to throw that off, and then it might lead to a crash. Now, in theory, the FAA forbids operation of unmanned aerial vehicles over crowded areas, mm-hmm, such as Manhattan. But that hasn't stopped any number of hobbyists from launching drones all over New York. Just across the East River in Brooklyn, Tumblr founder David Karp keeps ordering and crashing drones from a Chinese manufacturer. He just loves to fly drones all over. He said he loves it. He takes videos of flying all over the place. The rise of domestic drones is sparking the inevitable pushback from regulators and civil rights groups. The ACL is concerned about drones being used by law enforcement officers. But I'm thinking, this flying drone looks like a lot of fun. I'm thinking I need to look at this drone thing myself.
Doc, I have a picture of it over here, mm-hmm, and you're right. It has four propellers. It's a cool-looking thing, and you can get it for less than $500.
I'm thinking I'm getting a drone.
I think you're right.
I want a drone. I'd like to get a panoramic view of this building, of the WTOP, Federal News Radio building, from a drone.
You have one problem. You'd be flying it in a crowded area. You could get in trouble. Although I suspect with your technological expertise, you'll know how to fly this.
It'll
thing.
Have to be a stealth. It'll be a stealth zone. Drone. Stealth drone.
Stealth drone.
Stealth drone.
Hey, look, we do not have an answer to the quiz yet. We do not have the correct answer yet. So,
yes.
Doc, ask the question one more time.
All right. We talked earlier in the show about
Stacy Ferreira.
She, of course, co-founder of MySocialCloud.com. Who funded her? Name one of the people who funded her.
And we're not talking about the money she got to meet these people. We're talking about the people that gave her the seed money to start her company.
Yeah, the people that gave her the $1 million.
Right, exactly. The number to call again is 877-936-9333. It's 877-936-9333. And while we wait for the phones to ring, we'll take a short break. This is Tech Talk Radio on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, 820 AM, 107.7 FM HD2. Back with more right after this.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
Budget analyst, a vice president of sales. These are today's business leaders, and a degree from Stratford University's Tyson's Corner or Woodbridge campus offers you a powerful path to navigate the corporate world. The School of Business Administration at Stratford University offers both bachelor's and master's degree programs for a real-world education. In fact, many of today's Stratford business grads are working in their chosen fields. Make it work for you. Get working. Check us out on the web at stratford.edu. That's stratford.edu. An executive chef at a trendy restaurant, a hotel general manager at a prestigious resort. These are the high-profile positions in the culinary arts and hospitality management industry. Get working towards your bachelor's or master's degree at Stratford University's Tyson's Corner or Woodbridge campus. In fact, many of today's Stratford culinary arts and hospitality grads are working in their chosen fields. Make it work for you. Get working. Check us out on the web at stratford.edu. That's stratford.edu.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
And we're back.
Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. We're in the virtual faculty lounge at Stratford University talking technology. We're looking at the quad helicopter here. We got a little sidetracked during the break.
We did. Sorry, folks. But you know, we're dorks.
Oh, that does look neat.
Doesn't that look neat?
I got to have one of those. I tell you, I have got to have a quadcopter.
I think you could probably pull it.
I have got to have a quadcopter.
And look, it's value priced under $500.
And it's going to be a Tech Talk research.
Yes,
it's going to be part of Tech Talk research.
Okay, let's move on. Back to business. Time is wasting. Let's go to line. Wait a minute here. I've covered up that. Let's go to Marty, who is calling from Falls Church, Virginia. Marty, good morning. Welcome to Tech Talk. How are you, sir?
Well, fine, thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. Doc asked the question again.
Yeah, early in the show, we talked about Stacy Ferreira, co-founder of MySocialCloud.com, who gave her which $1 million in VC money, one of the three backers.
Richard Branson.
That is correct. Yes, correct.
We do have a winner. So, Marty, thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your participating today. Hang on just a second. We will have... Fill-in adjunct professor for prize distribution, Kevin Stansfield. Take your call here.
He's associate professor.
Associate.
Yes, yes.
Associate adjunct professor. Yes. We need to really just pile on the titles here. And we will get those prizes right out to you. Doc, what else you got to tell us about?
What can developers learn from healthcare.gov?
Mm-hmm.
These are some observations by James Turner. He's a developer. He says, well, the highly visible component of the Affordable Care Act launched this week. And theoretically, it allows citizens who live in states that do not have their own portal to get quotes and sign up for coverage. I say theoretically.
Theoretically.
Because there are problems.
Yes, there
actually,
are.
Consumers can't log on.
This is
they
a problem.
They can't successfully get quotes. And the lessons learned are many from this debacle. First of all, load testing is your friend. Load testing is your friend. If there's a positive message we can glean from the collapse of the portal is that there are a lot of people interested in getting health care. Unfortunately, this led to what effectively was a distributed denial of service attack, and it was clear the site had never been stress tested. Of course, they did the beta test the day before. Secondly, pretty doesn't really trump functional. The site is really pretty. It's got a lot of fancy graphics. It's got a lot of JavaScript. It's got all kinds of Ajax, the snazzy things. But unfortunately, when you start loading it up and you've got intermittent failures at the back end, the thing just falls apart. So I think it was probably great for a few users, but it just didn't ramp up. Mm-hmm. And validation logic really needs to work. And the interesting thing, the early failures, the usernames required passwords, but the instructions made no required numbers, but the instructions made no mention of it. So the whole validation system wasn't really useful. And user experience is really very precise. It must really work to get a good user experience. You need people to have good experience developing systems with good user experience. I mean, and there are many companies that do this. If you look at like Intuit's online TurboTax, it's much more complicated than the sign-up process for healthcare, yet it works under a heavy load. Amazon and Google both could handle crushing loads gracefully as well. Why couldn't the government go with a company that it actually had expertise in high-volume, high-stress sites instead of going for the lowest bidder? And so I think the way government acquires software may be a question. So people are really going to be looking at this as a tremendous failure so far.
Why did they wait until the day before it launched to beta test it? That's a recipe for disaster, isn't it?
It's indecision on the part of the government.
Mm-hmm.
They just kept delaying till they actually got the contract out. Everything was slow.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a classic case of poor management at the top, poor execution at the bottom, and people are getting to be quite frustrated.
Sure.
NSA is using a Firefox flaw to snoop on Tor users, T-O-R. Now, in an NSA presentation released by Edward Snowden, the infamous Edward Snowden, it contains mixed news for Tor users. First of all, the anonymizer service appears to be secure. You see, Tor is used if you want to surf the web anonymously and you want to go out through a secure proxy server and you don't want people to know who you are. Tor was designed to mask your identity and your location, and they developed it. The U.S. government developed it so people who were in oppressive countries could actually surf the web and they couldn't discover where they were. And so it turned out that Tor, as a product, is extremely secure. The security agencies really couldn't crack it because it had such good encryption. However, they sent with Tor a Firefox browser that was bundled with Tor, and they used a zero-day flaw in that Firefox browser to actually get all the information they wanted in terms of identity. So they were exploiting that. So people who were using the Firefox browser that was bundled with Tor, they could be tracked by NSA. Now, Mozilla has already fixed that flaw, and it's likely that a few of the Tor users haven't updated their software, and they should do that as quickly as possible. Mm-hmm. Now, if you want to download Tor, you can go to torproject.org. And this is designed to protect your privacy and defend you against network surveillance. Just be careful that you get an updated browser. Don't use the one that they give it that they provide with it. Now, Siri voice,
yes,
has been revealed. The virtual assistant was released with the iPhone 4S on October 4th, 2011. Now, behind the technology is a real woman.
Which is kind of surprising because the voice does not sound.
That's right. Siri, are you a real woman?
We were talking about you, not me.
She has a bit of an attitude too, doesn't she?
She does. Siri, how old are you?
I am not allowed to answer that question.
Doc, how dare you?
Siri. Listen, I'm asking this for Jim. Do you have a boyfriend?
Oh, no, stop it.
Here's what I found on the web.
Jeez.
Do you have a boyfriend? I won't mention you.
You're grilling her.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, she just
She's maybe she's a little shy, Doc.
All right, here we go. Are you a Democrat or a Republican?
Oh, boy.
I can't answer that.
She's nonpartisan, it seems.
Do you like Microsoft Windows?
I'm pretty loyal to Apple.
Is the iPhone any good?
Allow me to direct you to Apple's rather fabulous website.
Well, there we go. And so,
that was a riveting exclusive interview.
Now, here's
Siri.
The thing. Her real name is Susan Bennett,
mm-hmm.
and she lives in suburban Atlanta. Now, Bennett, who won't divulge her age, that's right, fell into voice work by accident in the 70s. And today she can be heard worldwide. She speaks on commercials, on countless phone systems. She spells out direction on GPS devices, addresses travelers at Delta airport terminals. Now, this is the story of how Bennett became the voice on Siri. It all began in 2005 when SoftScan, a software company, was looking for a voice for the new project. It reached out to GM Voices, which was a suburban Atlanta company that established a niche voiding product for recording voices for automated voice technologies. Bennett, who had done a lot of work for GM Voices, was one of the options presented. SoftScan liked what they heard, and in June of 2005, Bennett signed a contract offering her to do voice recordings that would be used in a database to construct speech. 4 hours a day, every day in July of 2005, Bennett holed up in her home recording booth. Hour after hour, she read nonsensical phrases and sentences. These snippets were then synthesized in a process called concatenation that builds words, sentences, paragraphs. That's how voices like hers find their way into GPS and telephone systems. Bennett never actually knew how her voice would be used. She assumed to be employed by some, mm-hmm. By some company phone system. And beyond that, she didn't think much about it. Her surprise came on October 2011 after Apple released its iPhone 4S, the first feature, which featured Siri. Bennett didn't have a phone herself, but all of her friends called her and said, she's the one on the phone. Now, in October of 2005, a few months after Bennett made those recordings, SoftScan bought and took the name of Nuance Communications. Nuance is the company widely accepted to have provided Apple the technology behind Siri. So there we go. Susan Bennett, and she's kind of a little smart aleck on Siri here.
Yeah, I wonder if Apple's upset that she has revealed herself. Or her identity, I should say.
Yeah. Well, they also had a voice in the UK, and that UK voice revealed themselves.
Oh, okay. Well, this portion of Tech Talk has been brought to you by Concatenation. You're listening to Tech Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, 820 AM, 107.7 FM, HD2. More right after this.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
Application and software developers shape our world. Those who design and build these systems are the leaders we follow. The School of Computer Information Systems at Stratford University's Tyson's Corner or Woodbridge campus offers programs with a real-world, hands-on education. In fact, many of today's Stratford IT grads are working in their chosen field. Make it work for you. Stratford University. Get working. Check us out on the web at stratford.edu. That's stratford.edu. A rewarding future as a holistic caregiver or nurse practitioner. Combining the art of caring with the human science makes nursing today's breakout field. Stratford University's School of Nursing at the Tyson's Corner or Woodbridge campus offers a patient-centered approach with valuable core clinical training. Stratford provides a real-world education in nursing. In fact, many of today's Stratford nursing grads are working in their chosen fields. Make it work for you. Get working. Check us out on the web at stratford.edu. That's stratford.edu.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. We're in the virtual faculty lounge at Stratford University talking technology. You know, there's one more thing I like about this voice recognition.
Mm-hmm.
I send text messages with voice recognition.
Oh,
I don't type them anymore.
That's amazing.
I just hit the thing, and it is so accurate. So you don't have to do all this.
You can do other stuff.
You just say it. And, mm-hmm. you can send text message to so-and-so. Pulls up out of your contact list. And then you click on the field where you have the message. And you just speak it. you click the little microphone thing and just speak it, and it does a great job of actually recording it. By the way, when you're doing voice recognition or Siri, that's when the iPhone uses the multipath TCP that I was talking about last time, mm-hmm. where you've got it'll connect it, like you might be walking doing Wi-Fi, and then you've got an internet connect, and then you've got your 3G internet connection, and you walk out of the house, and the transfer goes from a Wi-Fi transfer to a 3G transfer, and that's automatically handled seamlessly with multipath TCP, and that's activated as it relates to Siri.
I find that fascinating when I'm doing stuff and I walk from like one room at the office that has Wi-Fi yeah. and another room that doesn't, and things just keep working.
Well, this this last week I read this book, which I really like, Decisive. This book, Decisive, applies critical thinking to making decisions. And there's a statistic out there that 83% of the acquisitions that businesses make are not good
mm-hmm.
because there's flawed decision-making on the part of the executive. Now, the reason I like to do this is because we embed critical thinking to all of our classes. We teach critical thinking, the 8 elements of critical thinking. So one of the problems is whenever people start making a decision, they narrow the options too quickly. They should we buy that company or not? Whereas they should say, our objective is to penetrate this market. What are our options? And the company may be one of the options.
Right.
But once they narrow it down and have the wrong question, they'll never get the right answer, and that is frequently one of the problems. The second problem that happens is you get the CEO, so he's narrowed the question, and he's so enthusiastic about it, he only looks at data that supports his decision. So he doesn't get a complete sweep of data. He just gets, if it doesn't support a decision, they don't look at it. If it supports a decision, they look at it. So it's biased data. The second mistake they make is they don't have somebody who's looking at why the deal is bad. Now, in the old days when the Catholic Church was like nominating people to be a saint, they would have somebody making the case that so-and-so should be a saint. They would have somebody else who would make the case why they should not be a saint.
Mm-hmm.
The person who was making the case why they should not be a saint was called the devil's advocate. And so when companies make decisions, they have this big PowerPoint presentation saying why it was so great, but there's not a counterpoint presentation as to why it's so bad.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's sort of this skewed data, a narrow point of view, too narrow of a questions lead to 83% of decisions are wrong. So what we try to do in our curriculum, we try to embed critical thinking in everything because to try to develop the thinking skills of our students so that they can actually make decisions that make sense at the right time. Because the true value of education is what you know after you've forgotten everything you memorized. In other words, how did it change the way you think?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so, I'm in this CEO group that I go to quarterly. These are peer CEOs. We sort of, share war stories and they give me advice. And so this was the reading for the CEO group. And this actually is quite interesting reading. We're going to embed this in our curriculum. We're also going to embed this in the executive team because I don't want to make any bad decisions at Stratford because it's too narrow of a question or anything like that.
And again, the title is...
The title is Decisive.
And who wrote it?
How to Make Better Choices in Life and Work by Chip Heath and Dan Heath. These are the guys who wrote two other top seller business courses. They wrote Switch, which was on the New York best-selling list for weeks, and also Made to Stick. These are both excellent business books, and they give so many great examples.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you, I talk about using critical thinking in the classroom to apply, but they give so many examples of where the thinking has been flawed that really it is an excellent instructional tool for anybody that wants to make good decisions. Decisive, How to Make Better Choices in Life and in Work. If you read that book, you'll get kind of a hint of the kind of stuff that we teach at Stratford University. I'll tell you, this time just flies
it
by.
It does.
Just so quick, and I really enjoy that. So, but what we want to do, we like your comments, so send us your emails to techtalk@stratford.edu. Also, go to the website, stratford.edu website, and check out the programs and tell them that you heard about them on Tech Talk Radio.
If you tuned in later or would like to hear this program again, it will be rebroadcast here on Federal News Radio at 7 o'clock tomorrow night. See you next week.
This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
WFED Washington, WWFD Frederick, WWWT FM HD2 Manassas. This is Federal News Radio, on the air at 1500 AM and online at federalnewsradio.com. The only radio station in the world dedicated to serving the federal executive and government contractor. It's our mission to provide news and information that helps federal managers do their job better and help facilitate the business of government. Federal News Radio talks to the people who make government work to build a sense of federal community, discuss best practices, and explore lessons learned. Every weekday from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m., Federal News Radio interviews federal newsmakers one-on-one to explain how their news affects agencies and contractors. The Washington, D.C. home of Navy athletics. Nights and weekends, WFED broadcasts all the action of the Navy midshipmen, George Washington Colonials, American University Eagles, Washington Nationals, and the Washington Capitals. Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.
Coming up next, Navy football with Pete Medhurst here on Federal News Radio. Navy and Air Force game from Navy Marine Corps Stadium. The forecast for today, it is going to be hot and humid with a high today close to 90. Right now outside our studios in Northwest, it is 74 degrees under mostly sunny skies. Navy football next here on Federal News Radio. The time is 10 o'clock.
Time now for the weekly Navy Sports Magazine show featuring coaches and administrators of your Navy.